Hey everyone, welcome to Poetry Pod. This is podcast number 18 on The Prodigal by Elizabeth Bishop. The first heading on your worksheet is subject matter. The second poem by Elizabeth Bishop on your course is The Prodigal. This is a very moving poem about a man who is alienated from his family and who works on a farm with pigs. He has tolerated the deplorable working environment for so long now that he has become almost used to the appalling conditions of the sty and hardly notices the rotten floor or the glass-smooth dung on the walls. It seems the only faces he sees daily are those of the pigs, to whom he gives a cheerful stare. The prodigal clearly has an alcohol dependency, but sometimes the blaze of the sunshine lights up the mud in the yard in a warm red colour that seems to reassure him that he might stick at his job for yet another year. In stanza 2, the farmer shuts the other farm animals into their sheds, where they rest safely during the night. As the prodigal finishes up his day's work, he senses the erratic flight of bats between the farm buildings and is shaken by some insight into his life. Sometime later, he's finally convinced to leave his job in the squalid pigsty and return to his home. We move on now to theme. The story of the prodigal son in the Bible is a parable. A parable is a story with a lesson or moral about life and how to live it. The poem explores a variety of related themes, including that of struggle, addiction, and exile. The poem gives us some very moving and disturbing images of a man who is marginalised from his family, possibly as a result of his spendthrift lifestyle and addiction to alcohol. The poem, however, is not simply a dark reflection on the isolated and marginalised life of a farmhand. It also explores the possibility of hope, of making a change, or using moments of reflection and insight to start afresh, to begin again, and to believe in your own self-worth and value. The poem's theme is no doubt close to Bishop's heart. Her father died when she was just a baby, while her mother spent much of her life in a mental hospital. So Bishop knew what it was like to live without your family. She recognised that the prodigal attempted to find comfort and escape from his problems through alcohol, as she herself had struggled with depression and alcoholism. We move on now to quote 3. There are a number of very thought-provoking pictures created by Bishop in this poem. Can you see any image that suggests the deplorable conditions in which the prodigal worked? Why do you think Bishop uses such images? For example, if the conditions were so squalid, then why was it still extremely difficult for the prodigal to leave his environment and return home? Does this suggest anything to you about his mental state or his self-esteem? Think about your favourite lines or phrases in the poem and briefly explain why you find them interesting. The next heading is imagery. And once again in this poem, we can see evidence of Bishop's painterly style. She makes very detailed observations of the farm and its animals before turning her attention to the farmhand. Bishop doesn't simply tell us directly what the farmhand is thinking in the poem. Instead, she shows us the farmhand's behaviour in a typical day: feeding the pigs, scratching the head of the sow that ate her young, hiding his drink behind a length of timber, walking through the staggering flight of bats. While the images are certainly sensuous, that is, they appeal to our senses, several are also repulsive. For example, the image of the sow who ate her young. The image of the glass-smooth dung on the walls of the barn is also harrowing. Equally upsetting is the fact that the prodigal becomes so familiar with these squalid conditions that he finds it difficult to judge just how repulsive his workplace really is. But there are also many contrasting images of light and darkness that feature in the poem. A simile, for example, connects the light from the sun with the much fainter light from the farmer's lamp, which offers some reassurance to the prodigal and symbolises the hope that things might just be better. There are also warm images of a cosy, comfortable life being provided for the animals who snore peacefully in their comfortable beds. What images stand out for you? We move on now to language. Bishop uses very descriptive language throughout the poem, the effect of which is to create conflicting pictures in our minds. On the one hand, we have the use of adjectives such as plastered and glass-mood to give us a clear image of the unsanitary conditions in which the prodigal must work daily. The image of the barn, well stocked with hay for the animals, creates a different picture where the animals enjoy each other's companionship and feel safe in their shelters. The descriptive language, capturing the beams of sunlight which glaze the mud with red, seem to offer some consolation or hope to the prodigal. Other words and phrases connect the poem to the biblical story of the prodigal son, words such as star, companionable, and ark. We move on now to form. The prodigal is a double sonnet. You might remember talking about the two stanzas in the poem, each being 14 lines. The opening 8 lines of the first sonnet vividly describe the setting and the situation in which the prodigal finds himself. Bishop then marks the development of thought in line 9 of the sonnet, introduced by the word but. This, you may remember, is called a volta. From line 9, a sense of hope is introduced into the poem. The structure of the second sonnet changes, however. The second stanza seems to divide into a sestet, followed by a tercet, and finally a quintain, which is 5 lines. The feeling of uncertainty in the form may be an interesting way for Bishop to highlight the uncertainty in the prodigal's mind as he debates whether to endure his miserable existence for yet another year or to leave and return home. The next heading is sound. Sonnets often have a regular rhyme pattern, but Bishop's use of rhyme is irregular in the poem. While she includes examples of full rhyme, which is also called perfect rhyme, there are several examples of half rhyme, which is also called near rhyme. Bouts and snouts and hare and stare are both examples of perfect rhyme in the poem, while endure and more is an example of half rhyme in the first sonnet. Can you find some examples in the second stanza? Note also that the end rhyme in the final 2 lines of the poem is not perfect rhyme. Time and home are half rhyme. Any ideas as to why Bishop decided on this type of rhyme to end the poem? Overall then, have you any suggestions as to why Bishop might have decided to use irregular rhyme in the poem? Perhaps she uses this technique to suggest the disordered and conflicted thoughts of the prodigal as he variously tries to cope with and then struggles with his situation. The absence of a clear pattern may suggest that while the prodigal works the same monotonous job every day, his thoughts are anything but constant, moving between moments of anguish, despair, endurance, hope, and even acceptance. We move on now to tone and mood. In this poem, Bishop can empathise with the prodigal and his alienation from home and from his family. Bishop herself effectively lost both her parents from a very young age and struggled to find a place that she could call home. You sense that she is not being critical of the prodigal, no matter what type of lifestyle he has led or how he has wasted his time, his money or his talents. Her perspective is a compassionate one, which is interesting, since the prodigal makes that difficult decision to finally go home in the hope that his family may indeed show compassion and accept him back into the family unit. Mood refers to what you feel or think having read the poem, The Prodigal. Some readers find the poem to be quite distressing. Thought of the farmhand working in a dung-glazed farmyard is upsetting. However, perhaps you feel more hopeful when you notice the rays of light from the sun or the farmer's lantern. Were you happy at the end of the poem to find that the prodigal finally decided to return home? We turn then to personal response. What were your own thoughts or feelings when you studied this poem? What kind of questions did the poem raise for you? Were you puzzled or maybe even troubled by the subjects or images in the poem? Do Do you think the prodigal is a very lonely man? Do you feel sorry for him, or do you think he deserves his alienation? Does the poem, perhaps somewhat like the fish, suggest the importance of compassion in life? Does the prodigal's shuddering insights remind you of Bishop's feeling of rainbow, 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 when she gained a new perspective into the fishes and her own life? Do you admire the prodigal? Some students think he shows great courage to finally reject endurance as a way of life and to make the very difficult decision to return to his family and to human society. Do you think he will make that journey back home?